Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with John Gehring, Chief Information Officer of the Defense Information Systems Agency. Also joining us in our conversation is John Thomas. John, DISA has established a corporate board structure. What is your role on that board, and how well is it performing?
Well, my office is the secretariat for the board. Our corporate board is the 20 senior people in DISA that, by position, the strategic business units. By the way, we believe in and embrace the balanced scorecard concept that comes out of the Kaplan Norton book, Strategy Focused Organization. Our strategic business units and our shared service units and our special staff are on the corporate board. And it meets twice a week, regularly, once on Monday morning for an operations review of the past 168 hours, and then with a small staff meeting to follow. Then on Wednesday mornings we meet, and we call them senior strategy sessions, and they're focused strictly on strategy. We don't do informational briefings. We don't do operational reviews. We do tough strategic questions that we need to have the seniors, senior leadership contribution on, opinions on. And in those sessions, we at times get emotional, but the directors, director and vice director, have created a senior staff in a mood, atmosphere that allows us to get emotional in those meetings and then leave as friends. We've been tackling programs or problems one at a time or two at a time for the last, 18 months. It's probably less than that. We really got into gear on this probably around the first of this year. And we've begun to be able to take problems, solve them, put them behind us, and move on to the next one rather than have them linger. And sometimes you got to have people with biases say what their biases are in public and argue about them, and then you leave there, we leave there as a team, and we're moving on. Our Vice Director, Major General Marilyn Quaglotti, has led most of these, and she is decisive at the end, and okay, everybody has their say, this is what we're going to do, and then we go on from there. So it's a good exchange, it's a good way of solving problems, good way of planning where we're going, particularly planning where we're going, and of getting to know each other better too.
What are some of the challenges associated with meeting the evolving customer mission changes? And do you ever invite your customers to attend some of these strategy planning sessions?
We don't invite them into our own corporate board sessions, but we have sessions with our key customers, some routinely. For example, what we call a board of directors meeting with the Missile Defense Agency. That's a quarterly affair. We have DISA, Defense Logistics Agency Day, and where Admiral Lippert brings his staff to our place this year. And the two senior staff sit there for a half a day, 5 hours, and go through mutual issues and concerns, and some back patting as well. And on the off year, we'll go down to Fort Belvoir and meet with Admiral Lippert down there. We've done that with the services too, mainly on NetCentric Enterprise Services and what NetCentric is. The movement to NetCentric has affected everybody, not just us. And the way we fight today, which we have proven again in Afghanistan and Iraq, is indeed joint. And it is almost to the point now that if you cannot fight joint for whatever reason, you're not relevant. And it'll get to the point that if you cannot post your data on the network, you won't be relevant because you're going to have sourcing data, targeting, ISR, whatever from it. All available sources. It's a shame to think we have young soldiers in harm's way and we have information that may be available to some other stovepiped source that had those soldiers had that, they would have avoided a firefight or would have had the upper hand in a firefight. So that the movement in NetCentric has caused us a lot of change. The way we organize, the way the Army's organizing today, the way the Air Force is organized into its expeditionary forces. And that has caused differences in the way we deal with what they want. Distributed networks, distributed data, both pose security issues. John remembers from his Marine Corps days that we need to deal with in a different way. Putting data on the network, as I mentioned earlier, how you accredit that, how you make sure that it's timely, how you make sure that the predator feed that somebody's drawing down in Afghanistan is the most recent, and is it in fact live? Is it archived? How do you tag that and make sure that you've got the most relevant current data for that person? That's all difficult. And on top of that, the world is changing. You know, we're rebasing in the Pacific. We're rebasing in Europe. That has a large implication for us because we have to provide the infrastructure in those places, and that's a resource issue. And we have to make sure that we are locked at the hip with European Command and Pacific Command in these cases so we can do the planning that will enable them to do what they have to do, and it won't be an out-of-cycle bill to pay for somebody because we didn't do our planning properly. So as they change, we change. And in some cases, our changes, like the Gig Mammoth expansion, putting those large fiber pipes into 80-some locations, is going to change the way we do business as well in the department. It's going to make putting data on the network much easier and much cheaper. And that should change behavior. So it's a constant evolving. They change, we both change, and we feed on each other.
John, you mentioned the balanced scorecard. Are there other performance metrics that you use to determine if you're on target? And how do you involve your customers in this process?
Well, we have lots of metrics. Metrics for the network, metrics for the data center that are used principally by the people that run those. Corporately, we look at the metrics every week, every Monday morning, the operational impact. We involve our customers through the 500-day plan and principally to get what it is that they need from us or what we're not doing. And we have customer forums like the conference that we get feedback on. But we tried now to move most of our metrics into the balanced scorecard. We believe in that. And every quarter, I stand before my peers and defend my corporate strategies that I'm responsible for and my internal strategies and their measures and the initiatives. And if the balanced scorecard does not reflect what our customers want, either one of two things is wrong. The balanced scorecard's wrong, or our customers are wrong, and it's not them. If the balanced scorecard does not reflect our resourcing, our POM, and our budget, then one of two things is wrong. And we have to make those things work together. This is not just a reporting or a metrics technique. It's a real way of organizing and running a business that we think has got a lot of measure or merit to it. So we are actually looking at statistics. Every month, one-third of the organization briefs. So we have a five-hour session on a Thursday afternoon. Every month we go through the metrics. And if anybody from DIS is listening to me, they all enjoy this as much as I do. It's a very painful process, but it's a necessary thing. So it's peer review. You can't use smoke and mirrors, and it's good for us.
John, what is your biggest challenge to meeting or exceeding the tenets of the Clinger Cohen Act, and how are you making progress?
Well, I think that we do okay within DISA. And as a CIO, my organization signs off on virtually everything we do. The larger issue here is, I think, the programs that we are doing for the Department of Defense that are not internal of DISA, where we are heavily involved in the analysis of alternatives and in the certification of things that go on the network. Getting an understanding of, no kidding, what is a good solid analysis of alternatives is not as easy as one might think. It is, it's got to have some rigor to it. You got to look really at, are the alternatives real first? Second, have you done an honest assessment of what their strengths and weaknesses are? And third, in the end, when you've done the analysis, does that lead you to the right conclusion? Not the acceptable conclusion, but the right conclusion. And it's not always easy to do that. And AOAs, as we call them, are tough to crack. And I know that Dr. Wells views it the same way, that he relies a good deal on the analysts to do rigorous analyses to make sure that we get the decision that's right, not just acceptable.
John, earlier you talked about information sharing. What processes do you have to reduce or eliminate silos of information that may exist within the agency?
Well, just this week, our vice director appointed a colonel, Yolanda Cruz, who is going to be the agent of change to make us really net-centric. We have silos like everybody does, and we have been going after them a bit at a time, but not at a pace that is fast enough to do something meaningful. So the parts of my CIO organization that do portal and are some of the internal applications and the network are going to support her in an effort to bring all applications we have into some net-centric view of the world, so that we can share data better, and data ownership will be the directors, not individual organizations in DISA. It's easy to preach from a stage about what being net-centric is. It's awful hard to do it. because, you know, we have box huggers like everybody. That's my server. You know, I need to see it right there. It cannot be someplace else. And that's my information, because information is power. So getting people to share data is difficult. But we'll do this. We will do this. Or we're all going to die trying, I'm telling you right now.
That's very interesting, John. What does the future hold for DISA? We will ask DISA CIO John Gehring to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.